again, today is Pentecost Sunday. I'm excited about that. Mike mentioned there's a little booklet there on the table as you're heading out at the end of service. I want to encourage you to grab one of those, take that with you. I'd like to ask, youth camp is coming up in just 2 weeks. Would you begin to pray for our students and workers? It's very likely that this could be the best week of their summer, or the best week of their year, maybe the best week of their life. Pray that God will move on hearts, because we're not the one that call anybody, but today is the day of salvation, the Bible says, and we're just excited. I believe that, I'm trying to remember what Pastor Brandon told me, taking 20, I want to say she told me 21 of our students. And so maybe 22, super excited about that. And then kids camp will be in July. So begin to pray about those camps. Ask God to move and speak to hearts and draw them. What a blessing. It's great to have good weather during camp too, instead of yucky weather. So we're asking the Lord for things like that as well. I wanted to mention, got a call from a lady named Lori with Golden Valley, and she wanted to let us know and see if we could help they're looking for hospice volunteers. She said that you don't really need any qualifications necessarily, nothing necessarily specific, but want to meet with those who might be interested. And basically what it is you're just, it's just spending a little bit of time with people. Maybe run into the store for them, and it's kind of the time commitment would kind of really just depend on you and that individual that you would be helping. So if that's something you're interested, please touch base with me, and I want to pass that on. That way, maybe we can get a meeting together with her so she can do the training. I'm going to be inviting other churches to do that as well. Something that Golden Valley is asking for. So, and then one last thing, I wanted to inform you. Some of you may or may not know this. We do have a building fund that if you choose to give that way as the Lord directs, we want to make you aware of that. That we have that, it's available, and so any money that you give toward building, we have a fund for that. Sherry keeps great track of all those things. So, begin to pray with us about that as well, about a building situation. So, praise God. Hey, let's jump in this morning. I want to kind of reiterate what we went over last Sunday, just kind of as a refresher. Some weren't here and didn't hear that, and so I want to mention the title. Of this series is Design of Pentecost. And then last Sunday in part one, we went over several things, and we want to just mention some of those. We went to the Old Testament to show you that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was God's design, because in the Old Testament, Pentecost was the festival of first fruits. Now, I believe that is extremely important. And matter of fact, it wasn't until last week that I realized that festival lined up in the Old Testament. And so really what happened was you have the day of Pentecost was 50 days after Passover, okay? And that was the design of God. Passover was all the way back in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, Passover and Pentecost were two of the three Old Testament festivals that God's people, that he instructed them to celebrate each year. And it just so happened, because of God's design, see, it was the Pentecost. Passover, again, was a fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Pentecost was fulfillment in the Holy Spirit in our lives, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the individual believer's life. And so, just a wonderful thing how God ties that together. And I believe that God was saying, we checked this out last week. I believe that God was saying through that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now again, Pentecost in the Old Testament was the festival of first fruits. I believe that by that, God is saying this fulfillment is my gift to you, to and the first fruit of my gift. In other words, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on his people, not only in the early church, but in the church from then on. Because the third and final festival was the festival of final harvest. That has end time fulfillment, doesn't it? One of these days, we'll all be gathered up. The righteous and the wicked. Well, whose team are you going to be on? Right now you get to choose. Right now we get to choose. That's exciting. So last Sunday, again, by way of reminder, we also looked at John chapter 14. Jesus told his disciples that he would send an advocate, the paraclete, the counselor. The Holy Spirit is also, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a promise fulfilled, as we looked at in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit. I want you to make sure that that pen is writing well, because we've got a whole bunch more scriptures to go to today. I may not be able to get to all of them. So I want to share with you this morning. Part two is today. I want to look at how salvation is first and then Spirit baptism. And so we're going to look at several points today. How the Holy Spirit dwells in a believer at salvation. The Holy Spirit dwells in a believer at salvation. And then we're going to look also at Spirit baptism is separate and distinct from salvation. I want to try to differentiate the two of those things that happen in a believer's life. And if we have time, we're going to look at how the baptism in the Holy Spirit is for today. And really, I've already alluded to that several times. So this first one, we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit dwells in the life of a believer once they're born again. And so these next two scriptures are going to help us with that. So we're going to turn first to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You know, Romans chapter 10 tells us this. You cannot receive salvation unless you believe in your heart and declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And here we find the scripture tells us that you can't say that except that the Holy Spirit helps you to do it and come to that realization in your heart, right? So the Holy Spirit is involved, completely involved in salvation. Would you agree? Amen. He's the one who draws us. He's the one that opens our mind to it. He's the one who convicts us of sin. He's the one, he's totally involved in salvation. And then another scripture to help us with this understanding, Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father.
Amen.
For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. So I'm pointing these two verses out right here because I want us to get the understanding that the Holy Spirit... The Holy Spirit is the one who draws us to salvation. The Holy Spirit, then, it says, you receive God's Spirit when you were adopted as his children. Okay, yes. So that's what happens in that moment of salvation. The Holy Spirit, we believe, comes and dwells inside of us. Different, though, than the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to help you to see that in a moment. But the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us realize that we are children of God. He's the one who causes us to be born again, right? Because of the drawing, because of understanding, we know that it was through the cross that we're able to be saved. But the Holy Spirit is the one who makes the cross real to us, right? So, is this everybody catching it so far this morning? Okay, I don't want to leave you behind. Yeah, this one's what we want. So the Holy Spirit is active in salvation. Matter of fact, then once someone is born again and become God's own child, that person, the Holy Spirit is in that person from that moment on. Okay? And so what we're going to do now is I want to take you and show you the difference and show you some accounts of different passages in the scripture that help us to see that there's a separation and a distinction from the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and because we're born again, because we're God's children, and compare that to Spirit baptism. Okay? So we're going to look at those right now. And before we jump into those scriptures, I want to share one with you. It won't be on the screen. Deuteronomy 19:15 says this: "You must not convict anyone of a crime on the testimony of only one witness. Amen. The facts of the case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses." Why are you sharing that verse? Good question. I'm glad you asked. I'm sharing that scripture because it is important that we have, and three passages with you this morning to show you that there's a difference between the Holy Spirit in your life as salvation and Spirit baptism. So let's go there now. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to point out as we go along that, and we believe in the Assemblies of God, that the initial physical evidence of someone being baptized in the Holy Spirit is they will speak in another language. They will speak in tongues. Okay? You're going to see that in some of these passages, though not necessarily every one of them. All right, so we're going to, I'm moving kind of quickly because we've got a lot of ground to cover this morning. We touched on this one last Sunday morning, Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Once when he was eating with them, that was Jesus eating with them after his resurrection, before he ascended to the Father. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, I want to point something out to you here. Sometimes we'll say, well, you have to tarry, you have to wait for the Holy Spirit. The reason that these guys had to wait was simply because it was 10 days, or approximately 10 days, before God was going to pour His Spirit out on the day of Pentecost. It was by design that He was going to pour His Spirit out on the day of Pentecost, because that was the first fruit, okay? And the Holy Spirit was given that day as a first fruit for all believers from that moment on. And so they only had to wait because that day hadn't quite arrived. But it has arrived for you and I. So how come some people don't receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? I think there's lots of reasons. And sometimes we do, God may want to know how serious we are. I don't know. But again, Jesus here is talking about his disciples, right? We would probably say that those disciples who had been with him for 3 years, we would say that they would be saved. They would have been born again, wouldn't they? Again, this is the resurrected Christ that is speaking to them. We would consider them born again. But Jesus says, guys, there's still more. Do you hear my point this morning? Though they had the Holy Spirit that testified that they were sons of God and daughters of God, that they were children of God, Jesus still says, hang on, in a few days, guess what? I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We touched on this one last Sunday as well. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, verse 3, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability.
Amen.
Everyone that was there was filled, by the way. Again, same people, and maybe even more that were there in the previous verse that we read in Acts 1. But again, they were filled. Okay, it did happen. It came to pass. They were filled. What did they do when they were filled?
Okay.
They spoke in other tongues. That's a sign that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Peter didn't give them that ability. No one else gave them that ability. It was the Holy Spirit, right? Moving to Acts chapter 8, and verse 14. When the apostles, let me back up just a touch and give you a little bit of background. Philip, who was an evangelist, God had sent him to Samaria, and he was preaching. And you'll see here, there was really, this was a revival. This was wonderful. And just a move of God in this city. And people were being touched. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, that would be the message of the gospel, they sent Peter and John there. Verse 15, as soon as they arrived, as soon as Peter and John arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. So the point of this one, this point is this, they gave their hearts to Christ, they became children of God. But then when Peter and John get there, they're like, Philip, this is awesome, man. Way to preach the gospel. Hey, but you new believers, guess what? There's more. We receive more, and we want to share that with you, right? And they said they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. And verse 16, the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them as far as spirit baptism. Are you seeing the difference? So there is, the Holy Spirit obviously is involved, completely involved in salvation. But there's the second work of grace. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In verse 17, then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? So again, we're seeing more than one, and there's more than two. We're going to show you that in just a moment. There are more than these. There's plenty of evidence that there is. This is not just salvation. In other words, we're not automatically baptized in the Holy Spirit when we're born again. That's what I want to point out this morning. That's what I want to help you to see. That this is another work of grace. This is a gift that God has for each and every believer, I believe. And that's what He wants, and I believe it's His design. Again, every person on the day of Pentecost that was there seeking the Lord, waiting for the promise that Jesus told them about, every one of them received. That's encouraging to my heart. So again, we see that the Holy Spirit was poured out again. And then we'll turn also to Acts chapter 19. Excuse me. We'll turn also to Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found, and I've underlined it, made it bold, where he found several, who?
Believers.
He found several believers there. I'm not sure how he knew that they were believers. They may have had a long conversation about it. But what we know is that they were already believers. And here is the very next verse, the very next thing that happens that we're told is Paul asked a question. Questions are good. That's how we learn, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you guys believed? So he, with the question, he confirms their salvation. You are already believers. Even though you're believers, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. And then they respond on the next slide, no, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Kind of fun. No, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. Okay? And again, this is not in Jerusalem, but here in verse 3, Peter asks another question. Then what baptism, I'm sorry, Paul. Paul asks another question. Then what baptism did you receive? And they replied, the baptism of John. Yeah. Verse 4. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus.
Amen.
As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. Okay, we pointed out that these, and there was, verse 7 says that there were 12 men in all. Said that they were already believers. Paul recognized somehow or another that they were believers, and he comes and he asks the next question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I hope that you're able to hear this and understand this morning, that there can be salvation without Spirit baptism.
Amen.
Okay? And really, I believe that it's God's design that every believer in Assembly of God churches and in other churches receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Amen. I see it as God's total design through His Word.
Amen.
So I challenge you pastors. Doubt you'll be watching me preach. But I challenge you. Seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's God's design for you.
Amen.
And then lead your flock that way.
Amen.
It's my hope, my prayer, that every one of our people, kids alike,
yes,
are filled with the baptism and the Holy Spirit, are filled with the Holy Spirit in this way. Not just the indwelling of the Holy Spirit because of salvation, but this secondary thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, just wonderful stuff. And then there's more. Have I not established this on two or three witnesses? You know me, I like to back up Scripture with other Scripture. I'm not going to take this Scripture over here and then make it say something that the Scripture was never teaching.
No.
I don't like to do that. I'm on very shaky ground when I do, but I'm not on shaky ground. Look, I got all kinds of Scripture to back this up. I'm standing on solid ground. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Chapter 10 of Acts. The book of Acts is pretty incredible.
Oh, look.
It's so awesome. And really, I think that we are supposed to be a continuation of that book as Spirit-filled believers. Let's believe God for some awesome stories to write down. Amen?
Amen.
So this is one of my favorite accounts in the Bible. Peter was... He grew up a Jewish person and followed the law. And then Jesus calls him and says, "Hey, come and follow me." So he goes and follows Jesus for 3 years. And then you know how some of that went down. They watched Jesus do all these miracles, signs and wonders. Then Jesus was arrested and crucified. But then he rose from the grave. And then, as we just talked about, the Holy Spirit baptized all of those in that room on the day of Pentecost. And so, but Peter, he's still just kind of in the mindset that this is for us Jews, those who follow God and seek His Word. And then he's in prayer one day. I mean, no, that's a good thing.
Amen.
He's in prayer one day And he has this vision. I think Scripture calls it a trance even. And in this, God is saying, "Hey, I want you to expand the way that you've been thinking, the way that you were brought up, really." And so what happened is the Holy Spirit showed him this. He said it was a white sheet that came down from heaven, and in it was all kinds of animals, clean and unclean. And the Lord spoke to him in this vision and said, "Peter, I want you to kill and eat it." And he was referring to one of these unclean animals in this sheet, in this vision. And Peter was like, "Whoa, no, I've never done anything like that. I wouldn't do that. It's unclean. I wasn't raised like this. Well, that's against my character." Because he thought it was against God's word. And God said, "No, Peter, kill and eat." And what God was trying to show Peter was, listen, this is for more than you. This gospel is for more than the Jewish people. this gospel is, and you can go all the way back to Genesis and understand this. You can find it there, and it's all through the scripture because God used non-Jews all over the place. And ultimately, the cross was for every person. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Not just for the Jews, but for Gentiles as well. I'm thankful. And so, Peter, matter of fact, the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter and said, after that vision, said, hey, there's some guys coming. I don't want you to hesitate. I want you to go ahead and go with them. I've sent them, and I want you to go with them because I have something for you to do there. Okay, so imagine you're Peter, and you're like, God, you just wrecked my whole world. All the way from a child, you just changed my way of thinking. Sometimes that's necessary, isn't it? And so these two gentlemen come, these two servants come, and they take him back to Cornelius' house. Cornelius was a Gentile. Matter of fact, he was a Roman soldier. I believe he's a Roman centurion. And so he wanted to hear about Jesus. He was a devout follower of God, but he hadn't yet heard about Jesus. And an angel speaks to Cornelius and says, hey, send for Peter. And he even told him what street he lived or where he was. He didn't live there. That's where he was staying. And so Peter, shortly after this vision, there's a knock on the door. Guess what? There's two guys there. Hey, we're looking for Peter. Peter says, yeah, I know. I'm coming with you. Okay, good. We're all on the same page. Let's go. So they head back to the master, Cornelius. And I love this story because the Holy Spirit is totally in it. And it's for both salvation and baptism. And we'll see that here in a moment. So Peter gets there. And he took a couple friends along. Jewish friends. The house is likely full of people because Cornelius is a man of influence and he wants, hey, I had an angel appear to me and tell me to have this guy come and tell us stuff. So I got all my friends together, all my family, everybody that would come. Forgive me. So Peter is preaching the gospel. He is telling them all about Jesus and how he was this righteous Son of God and how he died and how he was raised back to life, resurrected from the dead. And it says here in verse 44, even as Peter was saying these things, I love this, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. Isn't that awesome? Amen. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. How did they know the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles? Let's look. Verse 46. For they heard them speaking in other tongues. And praising God. There it is again. You see that? That's why we say that we believe that the evidence, the sign, the proof that a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit is that they will speak in tongues, among other things. Okay? That is the one commonality throughout the New Testament here, in particular in Acts. So this account, though, is very interesting. It's unlike the others because at the same time, there's salvation and Spirit baptism. Isn't that interesting? It's not the same thing, but this time they were wrapped up in one package. So apparently, as Peter was preaching, their hearts, they were cut to the heart and believed. And then the Holy Spirit poured himself out on them and baptized them, and they spoke in other tongues. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. So, I hope that you realize that I've given you ample evidence today that Spirit baptism and salvation are two separate things, but that both are necessary. And so, generally, we have salvation and then Spirit baptism, but we see in Acts chapter 10 that there is That all came together. Hallelujah. But it doesn't always come together. Matter of fact, that's the only account in the scriptures that we have of that. And now I want to share with you out of Peter's first message in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Excuse me. Again, this is on the day of Pentecost. This is when they were, shortly after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, on the day of Pentecost, there were others who heard them praising God in their own languages, but some questioned it and said, oh, they've just been drinking too much. Right? Can I tell you that sometimes, and maybe many times, the things of God are tried, people try to talk them away?
Yep.
Oh, that's something else. Sometimes it may be something else. But you know what? Sometimes we just have to believe in the heart and we don't have to listen. Amen. Because Peter said, hey, these men, we're not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel talked about. And he went to sharing about that. Then he went again preaching about Jesus. And matter of fact, he went in very bold words and said, amen, Jesus, who you crucified. Amen. And some of them probably could have said, well, we weren't here. And we know that because we've heard and we've studied the word, and we know that what happened on that day when Jesus was crucified, Pilate was going to offer up someone else. He gave the people the choice. Hey, we're going to crucify somebody today. It's either going to be Jesus of Nazareth or Barabbas. Who do y'all want? I'll set one of them free. No, crucify Jesus. Which is outrageous. He hadn't done anything wrong. Except make people jealous. And so Peter is preaching and says, you all were the ones who crucified him. I think meaning our sin put him on that cross. Our sins did it. And so Peter continues to preach the gospel. And in verse 37 it says, Peter's words pierced their hearts. Hallelujah. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? I like that. Verse 38, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. That's the first step. You can't get baptism before you repent and turn from your sins and turn toward God. Repentance is totally, totally necessary. Matter of fact, repentance is necessary from this moment on in our life. Because I don't know any believer who's only had to repent one time on the day that they were saved. It's learning to live in a relationship with God. Oh no, this damages my relationship. Whatever I'm doing damages my relationship with God. Therefore, I've got to repent of it, get rid of it, and turn away from that and turn back to the Lord.
Yeah.
Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. See, we know that it's because of the blood of Jesus that our sins are forgiven. Look at what he says next. Then you will receive the gift. Notice, it's a gift. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now he's talking about spirit baptism. That he and his friends just received a little earlier. Right? This is the day of Pentecost still. The Holy Spirit was poured out on them. And he's saying, hey, first you've got to repent of your sins. Turn away from that and turn to the Lord. You've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. That's water baptism because of salvation. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Somehow I didn't get 39 in there. Do you have it up on the screen? Okay, I must have forgot it on mine. Praise the Lord. This promise, look at what he says. Now again, we talked about last Sunday we talked about how the Holy Spirit is that promise fulfilled. Okay, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a promise fulfilled from the Old Testament. We took you to Exodus 23, I believe it was. Showed you the three festivals of Pentecost was the second. And then Joel chapter 2, a promise. Hey, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit. And Jesus spoke of it, as I mentioned last Sunday, in John chapter 14. Hey guys, I'm going to be sending you the advocate. I will ask the Father, and He's going to send you the Paraclete, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper. Hallelujah. You've got a Helper.
Yeah.
You've got a Helper. He says, this promise, the promise of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the promise that I'll pour out my Spirit in the last days, this promise is to you. Those of you right here, He's saying, those that were listening to Peter on that day, okay, to you, to your children, to those who are coming after you, and to all those far away. All who have been called by the Lord our God. The Holy Spirit is for today. The Holy Spirit is for you. Peter makes it very clear right here in verse 39. And so this baptism in the Holy Spirit is for each and every one of us. This is, again, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a separate thing from salvation. Peter helps us to see that right here in chapter verse 38 of chapter 2. And so I want to just encourage you and challenge you to receive of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, Charlie, would you come back to the guitar? Invite Charlie up here. I'm going to invite you. Because I don't know who's been filled with the Holy Spirit or not. I'm just going to give you an opportunity this morning. One thing I know is we want to seek the giver, not just the gift. Though the Holy Spirit is a gift. In other words, we can't earn the Holy Spirit. We can't earn this baptism. We can't earn this fullness. It's not something that, okay, well, I come to church enough or this or that enough. It's we receive it kind of like we do salvation. We receive the Holy Spirit by faith. And that is an awesome thing. So I want to just encourage you this morning. The Holy Spirit is a gift sent from the Father. I want to invite you up. If you're in a place where you say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then the altars are open. Come on up. The altars are open. I want to encourage you. I want to join you in prayer and believe God to fill you this morning. We're going to be talking more about the Holy Spirit next Sunday as well. I'm excited. I love the Holy Spirit. Because, you know what, there are many days He leads and directs my heart. And I'm so thankful that He does that. I'm so thankful for the grace. And we all need that. We all need to be filled. And it's my desire that each one of us are filled. So if that's you, we're going to play. I want to encourage you to praise the Lord and worship Him. As we just seek the Lord. Oh, You're so good. You're faithful.